And it's a blessing to see everyone here. I think this was like my church in the southwest of England. Yeah, so I'm coming back home. And I think I was here in the reception of the whole vision of home coming on and those things. So anyway, I'm just going to share briefly, but before that, I wanted to show you the video, because what we're going to share is going to come from the things God has done in the last 10 years. You haven't seen some amazing things God has done. I want to share with you, share this video, and then I will come back home. God bless you. Thank you to Richard and the leadership here who hosted us. We have been well fed. I don't think we even want to go back home. We desired everything we wanted to be given to us. We so much appreciate you. I will be able to have been here. Thank you. So I'm so grateful to Silas, and I'm so grateful to the leadership here for receiving us back. Really being here brings a lot of memories, because so this is a place of beginnings in many cases. Thank you, Nigel, for all you did. We hope you can come back and see what happened over there. So we thank everybody, really. And it's amazing to see Steve Waters. I don't know how much you know him, but Steve, could you just put that on? That man there literally started with me, the center. And the first children, we brought them in together. So we went to the slums, we went to northern Uganda. He did the first year graphics, the first business plans. You know, he used to do the dog work this time. And he came and stayed there by faith for many months and helped me out. So there's quite a lot of people here that have been or are part of my journey. And of course, that last night, Kirsten, Dion there came for 4 months. I think she was our first teacher to teach sports there for 4 months. Marvin and Marvin's mother. So we're so much connected to Bristol. We can move half of KCC here and it can survive. So thank you so much for that. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 18, if you have your Bible, how many of you know if you're reading in your Bible, books move? This cute Bible is not mine, it's for my daughter. It took me a long time to find Jeremiah. At first I thought I'd see Jeremiah in the New Testament. Then it ended up being James. Chapter 18, I will just paraphrase what God is telling to the porter. The God says to a man here, go to the porter's house. But here he says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the porter's house, and there I'll give you my message. So I went down to the porter's house. So I went down to the porter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the porter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like the clay in the potter's hand, in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, house of Israel. Father, we thank you for this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't worry, I'll be out of your sight by midnight. I'll be finished. I'm so connected here, and when I first came in here, you couldn't help but see the vision of a place that God wants to take this nation for. His use in prayer to take the nation for his glory. For me, this place is a place of dreaming. But also, one of the things I felt here was the presence of God was tangible in the meetings we had here over those years. the presence of God was tangible. You could have. We used to have prayer meetings here, and it wasn't spectacular in the way or loud, but you could really feel God coming down, touching His people. But also talk like a place of restoration. But when we talk about hope, we talk about the restoration, you know. So it felt like a place of restoration. I remember we're working with lives, you know, they have been broken, they have been battered. But it was really a privilege to see God building them and to see some of them now going to do greater things for God in different ministries in this country and outside this country. And in the last 10 years we've been building the children's home. There's something God has spoke to me. I remember I went back to Uganda to build the children's home. And I had a team I was working with, and I disbanded the entire team. And the reason is, if God had sent me, I wanted Him to start afresh, you know. And many times when you move one thing to another, the people around you or not so close to you will struggle, because people struggle seeing you in a different box than they are used to. Because the moment you make a move, they cannot predict you and they cannot control you. And it makes them feel insecure. So I found out when I made a switch to go do what I feel God has told me, you could feel some people became uneasy. And that is normal. And that's real. Every time God starts to move in your life and take you to a new direction, people become aged and uneasy about you, because you're becoming unpredictable. We humans, we struggle with what we cannot control. We struggle with what we cannot define. And that's why many people are struggling with God. Because how can you define God from everlasting to everlasting? You know, the whole world before you looks like a drop of water in a bucket. So we cannot define Him. And that's why the only way we can properly relate Him is by believing that He is and is a rewarder for those who honestly seek Him. It's all by faith. And I remember when I went to Uganda, my struggles again continued. All the pastors I used to work with, they said, you know, Aaron, why are you starting a children's home? You should be starting churches. You should be opening churches in every village and every community. And that was hard because, you know, sometimes when you move into a vision, everybody knows what you should be doing except you and God. So how you should do it, how you should share it, only you are good and ignorant. So, and everybody was telling me, and I think God allows that, because we human beings, we love to run on our own. You know, we just want to go and do things on our own. So God allows those moments of isolation, that they, so that you can fall back on Him. Remember years ago I told you here that when God gives you a vision, He does not give you a complete map. When I just come to this country, in Uganda we don't use maps, you know, they're useless. So, to go where? So, we figure it out as we go. You know, in this country you drive on the left, in Uganda we drive on the road that is left. So, so things are going to be different in Uganda. So, so I came here, there was these little books we used to use. We no longer use them because of the GPS now. You know, A to Z. It fascinated me, you know. Why would someone waste his time, you know, write all those things and put, do all that geography and put it down? So I used to love my A to Z because it was a fascination of really how the British waste their time. So I remember, but I needed it because I could never get anywhere without it. Because I found the road system in this country was so complicated. In Uganda, all you do is just walk in a straight line, and the way it ends you, they give you dinner, they give you lunch. You know. But the weird thing, it had indexes. So you could open the page, you're going to Bristol, and then it begins to lead lead you, and at some stage it says go to page 94, and you get to page 94, then it leads you somewhere, and then the index will say to you go to page 105. So the agency always goes to where it needed to go, you know. But God doesn't work like that. If you give your agency, you give it to you when it's very cute and grossy, And you think, yes, I have got it. I know what to do. You know, have you ever been there and you think you know and you know and you know what you should be doing? You are very convinced. So, and then you open, go to page 94. Yes, it's all colorful and rosy. But then, when it says go to page 105, you discover that God blacked out that page. So, God will never give you a map that is complete to your destination. He will never. And most people think the word destiny comes from the English word destination, but that's not true. I think it comes from the Greek word meaning horizons. When God says, I'm taking you into your destiny, you can never arrive into your destiny. You know, we cry for many things. Lord, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a missionary. I want to be a chief executive. I want to be a musician. But you've never got there and feel you are there. One man said, you work so hard to get to a place called there, and when you get there, it's not there. So we all want to get there. So you will never arrive in your destination, because it's not a destination. Your calling is not a destination. So it means when God says, I'm taking you to your destiny, simply meaning I'm leading you from horizons to horizons. It's infinite. It never ends. So that's why God blacks out a page. And you know why God blacks out a page? God blacks out a page from your journey so that you don't rely on your energy, on your strength, on your ability, on your knowledge, so that you can pull over. I used to travel over this country. There's hardly a town I haven't moved to. And I used to stop on those nearby parks. So you have to pull over and say, Lord, I am lost, help me. Then he comes and takes you by hand. We don't serve a God who sits in heaven and watches us doing incredible things for him or difficult things for him. We serve a God who loves to lead us by hand. And that's why he requests the relationship. So anyway, when I was in Uganda, going back to Uganda, during the days of Steve Waters, when he was with us. So the pastors were telling me, Arnold, he started church. And but God spoke to me and said, Arnold, can I borrow a glass of water? Shall I bring it back on the fish? So, God told me, Arnold, calm down. This children's home is church, but it's church with a different expression. And really that helped me out. Many times the only style of church we understand is come here, we are led in worship, you know, we do the note says, we get the preacher, he comes, he shouts at us, and then we correct the offering, then we say the benediction, and home we go. And that's sometimes that's the only way we consider. But actually, I have found, thank you so much. So, God speaks to me, this children's home is church, but it is church with a different expression. And I pray that in what you do for God, whatever you do in your life, in work or in business or in school, you may begin to see God doing church, but with a different style than what your mama told you, you know, than what your pastor told you, than what a preacher like me told you. So that really helped me. And to make it worse, there was a meeting in Reading. I don't remember what it was called, but it was a youth meeting in the stadium, Manchester Stadium, and it was really thousands of young people there. It was organized by Julie Anderson from London and other people, and I was one of the speakers there. And I went there. It was, I think, a Thursday, Friday, and it was incredible, and I enjoyed it. I don't know whether it was the crowd that amazed me or the presence of God, but I loved being there. And then on a Saturday, I got on a plane to Uganda, and I was still in this power of thousands, feeling we are taking this world for Jesus. So I go back to Uganda, and what I went to church was a wooden building, KCC, and I started preaching. I remember coming from stadiums, literally thousands of people, and I've done a few in the ANC, Birmingham, and other places, and that's what the anointing I was feeling. And I go to KCC, and I start leading the service, And I realized that I had a rough about 60, 70 people. And then I realized about 55 of them are children. Then I said, God, you have a sense of humor. From leading thousands, and here I'm having children who don't even want to be here. One is crying, one is, you know, it was just another story. And then I realized another 10 were my employees. So they didn't want to be there, they just want to keep their jobs. You know, and to make it worse, a couple stood up, a good older couple, and I was excited, you know, now goodness, so much more people in church, and they stood up and said, we are so grateful to come to this church this morning, but actually this is not our church, and we don't intend to be coming to this church. Our children woke up late, and we hardly sing, so we decided to come. So even those who were there didn't want to be there. They were there by accident. And that's how God does it. And I didn't even know what to say to the children, you know. And that's what God does. But when God calls you to do something, it's very important to rely on Him and to know what God is doing. But as the years went by, even before we reached there, actually there's a story I want to tell you which Steve will witness to. There was a family that was a child-led family, and there were about six from Kakini. There were six, and Steve Walters, who's behind them, became obsessed with this family because they had nobody to look after. He was pushing me out of the way to take these kids, and some were older. I didn't want to tell them. I said, "You, Steve, why don't you just give up on this?" But you know, he was so touched because he knew the circumstances these children lived in. They were really, really poor. And Steve was really pushing me to take these kids. So I said to Steve, okay, you know, our police are here, some of these children here, we have to send them out to be medically checked. We went and checked some of these children, and some of them were HIV positive, you know. And then we agreed to take some of them, and others, we got another missionary to take them in. And then after 2-3 months, we took them back to be checked of HIV. I think we checked them twice. And then on the third time, we took them to be checked. And I think Steve went with them to be checked. And then the results come back, and the boy is HIV negative. And then Steve comes to me and says, he's HIV negative. But do you think they mixed up the results? I said, Steve, can you stop being English for a minute? What is difficult? You know, if the doctors can mix up the results, you know, also, it's as easy for God to heal as it is easy for the doctors to mix up the results. So could you tell your neighbor, could you please stop being English for a second and let God work? Amen? But I have some testimony. The reason I want to give this testimony, because some people give testimonies, God healed, and there's no witness. Steve is my witness. He's the one who took the kids to check them up, and they were positive, and took them back, and they were negative. And up to this day, now these children are now men, they are still HIV negative.
Amen.
That's the witness. And we've seen a process of healing. So it's not only feeding people, it's not only rescuing them from abusive backgrounds, but we've also seen God totally transform their lives. And there was another night, I don't remember whether Stevie were there again. You know, this group used to come and pray with us, and they were business people. They had a funny name, they used to call themselves acrobatics, but because they had no shape, they used to pray every Friday these different communities, anywhere they were invited. And they came to pray with us. And there's a shape of a heart in the center, and we're holding hands. And literally, the temperatures fell below zero. It became so cold. And you know when preachers stand there and say, oh, the presence of God is here, you've got to try hard to feel it and see. But it wasn't those nights, you know. Literally, a physical cloud came and descended on us and covered us. And everybody knew this is the tangible and real presence of God. And people, you know, when God shows up, you discover a lot of things. We had some people who looked holier than Jesus, And I began to confess things you never heard about. So when God just showed up and covered the entire hill, and before that, many children had epilepsy, were falling off their beds and break their arms, and from that night, no single child stayed epileptic. God healed them. You know, just give God a hand clap. He deserves it. Sights. The non-miracles said, oh, I went down in the jail and it happened. They had witnesses. We had volunteers from here. And God just healed them. And children had issues that God changed their lives. So, what am I trying to say to you? Here it says in Jeremiah, and the potter was making something in his hands. The potter here symbolizes of God. You know, and says whatever he was making, He got marred in his hands. What is strange here? If the potter was God, how can the clay get marred in his hands? So the clay was in his hands, and things went wrong. And many times when problems and issues, misfortunes come into our life, we think maybe because God hates us, maybe God wasn't with us. But it says the clay got marred, got de-shaped, went pear-shaped in God's hand. You can even be in the middle of God's will and things go haywire. So, and it says, the clay got marred in God's hand. And that's what we found. We've taken a lot of children, not only children, even staff. Some of the staff, I know that the video said we employ 170 people, but actually we are the biggest employer now in the community. We employ 140 people. It's double the number. We employ more people than the local government in the community. You know. And that's incredible for the goodness of God. So, for us, employing people is part of our vision. Because in Uganda, every employee on average is looking after 5 people. So once you employ one person, you are feeding 5 people. And we multiply that every employee we have, we are helping other poor people times 5. So employing people is not only so. As we have a vision for children, also employment is part of our vision. And it's our way of impacting communities and changing their lives. We find it's easier to deal with it and to bring transformation to communities like that. So what are the things God is doing in our community is absolutely amazing. Anyway, the people we have at the center and the things that have been happening, you know, even the workers, God has changed their lives. God has transformed their lives. So, some of the children we have there, I remember one of the children that is grown up and now is left. We reached a stage and really struggled with them. And everyone was saying to me, you know, you must get them out of this center. You must throw them out. You cannot have them here. And I went home. And the Lord asked me, he said, Arnold, if that was your biological child, what would you do? Would the thought of leave home be the first? You know, is that the first destination? It's not the first stop. So, of course, God doesn't ask you a question because he needs an answer. God asks you a question because you need an answer. So when God asks me questions, I don't really quickly answer back. I pray to the Ezekiel way. You know, Ezekiel, Lord only you knows. You know, there you've got him. So, and then God says to me, okay, Arnold, if he was your biological child, would you ask him to leave? Of course I wouldn't say yes, but I was... couldn't say no. And then he took me to this chapter. And then the following day, God showed me, you know, how things can go wrong. This person you see, he was in my hands even before he was formed in his mother's womb. I knew him and appointed, you know, and it's going to be great. So I went to the staff and I said, look here, this is my claim. But you know what? God can make it again. And what I like about the scripture says, and saying, so, I think it is in King James, it says, so he made it again. You know, I like that word so, because when I was young, we used to use it, a lot in primary school. I'll tell you the story and I hope you can understand it. When we were in primary school, there was a cute girl who wanted to sit next to her. She doesn't want you to sit to her. You try to tell her how wonderful your home is. But during my time, fridges were a novel to have in the homes. So I used to impress them how you have a fridge at your home, and you can bring her ice cubes. And if she's not impressed, you still say, so? Then you know that's total rejection. And when God says, so what? It's like a total rejection of the negative. Amen? So, and the Porter says, so I can make it again. Can you just tell your neighbor and say, so what?
So what?
So you're mourning, listening, God can do it one more time. So we did that, but I have some good news for you. I cannot give you the name of the person or the child, but that person has gone on to grow and become a wonderful person that is now impacting other people's lives. God can make it again. I'm watching the clock because in Bristol, God finishes on time. And then another story here is we by the way, still have children who are HIV positive, but they are living a good life. Amen. I don't know why God heals some and others He doesn't. I can't figure that out yet. But one thing I know, I trust in God's wisdom. I don't question His wisdom. I trust in His wisdom. He knows exactly what is doing. We have a section that is healed. Another section, we have to keep giving them ARVs, drugs, to keep the virus dormant. And they're living a great life, they're finishing schools, colleges, and they're going on with their own lives. And we praise God for that. So, there's a story of a child called Gracie. She was dropped in a trench. And we have a video for 1 minute. And do you have it there? Yeah, just show me that. Just the 1 minute. Show the picture of Gracie. In September, we're celebrating 10 years of KCC. And intentionally, when we started the center, I hoped in my heart to build it in a way that it will impact people in power and authority, the big and the mighty. And I wanted it that to be seen, not to say it, but in the way we do it. And in September, we are celebrating 12 years, having 10 years. And got a phone call from the Uganda Kingdom called saying, the Prime Minister would like to visit. I said, he doesn't want. Also in Uganda, in Africa, when the word kingdom comes in, witchcraft comes in, and things like that, I said, wasn't that one thing? But this guy is revered and worshipped almost. He's loved by his own people. But I said, let him come. And some of our people said, are you inviting him? I said, yeah, let him come. So when he came, for me, I wanted to preach the gospel to him. But God is great when he turned up. He just discovered he went to the same primary school, same secondary school, born 2 villages apart. So we become instant friends. And when we are going on my speech, I told him, Mr. Prime Minister, there are things you do that Christ, I didn't say God, Christ objects those things. As long as, you can just keep the grace picture there. As long as you do those things, we will not support you, But I want you to know, anything you do that does not contradict our Jesus, will give you our support. And everybody was saying, how can you say that? The Prime Minister of that place. And when he was leaving, he grabbed my hand privately and said, he called me his uncle, some tribal thing. So he called me his uncle and said, uncle, I want you to pray for me. The blessings of God you're operating in, I want them in my life. Could you lay your hands on me and pray for me.
I tell you, it's a beautiful thing to lay hands on the prime minister and go,
shakalala! I didn't do that.
But I pray and I said, let him know you, let him discover you. And twice he's called me and said, Bishop, I need some prayers. And that's what God does, you know. Sometimes you are building something different, and God is building another thing. So, and that's there. And then the following week, on the 19th, again we have a visit from the Vice President of Uganda. He also turned up for an hour and said, I'll come back. And then on the 22nd, we had a meeting with the National Prime Minister, but he didn't come. He sent the Minister of Technology. And then I said, we want the President also to come. So I wrote a letter, I sent it there, it disappeared. I followed him out, said, we'll never see him. Next thing I got a call from him, I said, I'm not going to come. I have heard there are so many things that God is doing. I want to see the real things. But this is what he said. He said, I'm surrounded with a lot of thieves and liars. I want to see the real things real people are doing. So he came on the 5th of September, the President of Uganda. And unfortunately, pictures taken from the bar. And that girl giving you the flower, that is Grace, who was condemned to die in a trench. When her mom gave birth to her within 2 hours, put her in a trench for the torrential rain to take her. And a woman was passing by, saw something shaking in cloth, and pricked it with a stone, and Grace cried. And when Grace cried, was picked up, taken to the police, and the police squad, the probation officer called us. Within hours, the cord was still on, was still dirty. We took Grace, and she's the most beautiful thing God has ever created. And that's what God does. So the child who was supposed to die, the child who was supposed to be never exist, now is meeting presidents, prime ministers, and is impacting lives. And we never, no one has choreographed her life, but God choreographed her life. And this is the encouragement I want to give you. Some of us, even in these blessed countries, many times we mourn about things and we think God is not with us. But I want to share with you, you know the story of Naomi, when she went away from Bethlehem, Judah, and went to the land of Moab. You know, she went with her husband, she went with the children, she went with wealth. But 10 years down the road in verse 1, chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, she makes a statement that many of us in the West, including me, need to remind ourselves. She says, I went out full, but I came back empty. Which means, she discovered after 10 years, she was more blessed in the land of famine than in the land of plenty. And many times we don't realize how blessed we are, how God is working in our lives, how God is good to us, and we mourn and cry. Some people don't have testimonies. They only have one part of the testimony. They only have the mornings. They're all mourning and mourning. But really, God is so good. Amen? God is so wonderful. We are blessed. This is the key who was supposed to die, but God is transforming our life in incredible ways. So that's what God is doing. But this is what I believe. What God can do in Uganda, in the jungles of Africa, He can do in Clifton, He can do in Hope Center, He can do in Bristol, in Jesus' name. If you don't believe it, I'll ask your neighbor to slap you. Simple as that. But if you believe it, I'll spare you the slap. And I've said this many times everywhere I go, that even in the Western world, sometimes you have a problem with God. But if you have a problem with your God, you don't bother him. Trust in mine. Mine can change any life you bring. So anyway, as I finish, it's been a journey of transformation. But one amazing thing what the President said on that night, which I want to let you know, I've seen the Hope Center start, you know, in small beginning. And many times we don't realize God can do great things. The President spent his speech, when he arrived, he told me, I only have 30 minutes. I want everything swift, quickly, and going. In my heart, I laughed. I said, you're no media until you want you to go. And then he was there for 3 hours and he spoke for 15 minutes. And I was speaking from the Bible. The last thing he said, I was born again in 1965.
But I disagree with the Christians, the born again people. But now, you people have cases. You've narrowed it up and you brought me back to Christ. You know, and saved three times. And later, I wasn't brave enough to ask you what it means. If a man says he brought you back to Christ, how can you question me? But I said, is this a political statement or not? So I asked his private secretary later, I said, when the president said, you know, we brought him back to the Lord, did he really mean it? I don't know whether she gave me a political answer. She said, he meant what he said. So, whatever that means. But, you know, and these were children that were really impacting his life. You know, last week we were in Wembley with children. Some of them have incredible stories. And if I tell you what happened in those days, they're really incredible. So, God is so good. And my thing of encouraging you here, let's all continue to dream. Whatever God is depositing in your heart, continue to dream. I call the last 10 years, 10 years of dreaming with God. And I saw, because what I've done, I dreamt. Let there be a house, and it's there. I said, let there be a children's home. My God brought me for one of the first people, Stephen Waters, Dion, Walker, but it was just dreaming. And God wants us to dream, you know. And I know that in this country, you know, we have an atmosphere that feels dreaming. Please, don't get upset with me, but there's something I found so weird. There was a school I went to mention, but children this age were not allowed to run in the playground because of health and safety. For them running, it wasn't safe. I said, kids are supposed to run for the glory of God. Amen. So I said, how can you dream in such an environment? You know, and I read an article recently which was saying that in 30 years that this country may run out of entrepreneurs because all the things they're putting in place are stopping people from taking risks, you know. You know, you are not allowed to be a risk taker. You are allowed to be extremely sick, played extremely safe. But guys, don't break the laws. But this is what I'm saying to you. God wants you to dream. Amen? God wants you to dream for your family to be transformed, for your community to be transformed, for this city to be transformed, for this nation to be transformed. So keep dreaming and allow God to fulfill your dream. I can't tell you my full dream, but I want a dream that is so big that only God can fulfill it. So I just want a dream that when things happen, you look at me and say, I know that, you know, you can pray, I know you can raise money, I know you can run things, but according to what I see happening, it is not you. Only God can do it. You know, that's the dream for me I want. That I am. Only God can fulfill it. In the next 10 years, I will look at 10 years of destiny, which means God taking us from horizons to horizons, from glory to glory. And I prophesy to God in the name of Jesus. And do me a favor, slap your name on the back for me and let him feel the pain. Man, especially if you had a grudge. That slap is to tell you to not stop dreaming. Right? Do not let those dreams die. Keep hoping. Keep believing in Jesus' name. And I don't remember everything Silas was shared when we were here on the team, but every dream God has ever given you, every thought God has ever given you, he has the ability, he has the capacity to bring it to pass. We just have to continue walking with him. And I know some of you here, your ministry is not going to end here anymore. Some of you, God has planted you in communities, in jobs, in cities, wherever you are. But I tell you, keep believing and allow God to take you into your destiny, moving you from glory to glory, from horizon to horizons. We serve an amazing God. God bless you. But a well, spring is coming out of the ground. Pure, clean water, uncontaminated. You can drink it straight away from the ground. And I just feel over the years you've been digging into this well, either knowingly or unknowingly, but I have a feeling that it's been prophesied before, somewhere, somehow.
And the water started gushing out, coming out, but it's not at the stage of real gushing out. And I just feel the Lord wants to take you to the stage of that water gushing out. It's a well of healing. There is a stronger connection with the healing in this hope center. And I feel it's a little red from the beginning, from the inceptions of this piece of real estate. I just see that there's a great connection of healing. Not necessarily only physical healing, but emotional, spiritual, inner healing. People coming here and getting healed and getting set free. The water washes away their confusion. And I just feel that you're at the stage as you continue to dig, the waters are getting to the stage of literally gushing out and spitting out everything near and everything in touchable distance. But also, the people coming to the waters are from different backgrounds, different ethnicity and nationalities, and just people coming from all over. That's what I see here. And there's going to be an increase in multinationalism that is going on here. It's going to happen here because the healing is going to draw them as they come from the nations here that take jobs, work here, work in the church, whatever purpose God knows. But their well is going to grow. And as people come from this well, we'll take that anointing to wherever God is sending them and wherever God is taking them. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the water will begin to gush out in an incredible way. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that the healing you started on this piece of real estate many, many hundreds or tens of years ago, I pray in the name of Jesus that we will walk in that incredible heritage of hope. And I pray, Father, for the vision and the calling of this center, of this congregation, that they will see more of your tangible presence. They will see more of your tangible hand leading them to greater heights in God. And Father, I pray for individuals with visions and callings and dreams, Lord, that don't let those dreams die. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to touch every one of them, that out of their innermost being, rivers of living waters will begin to flow out. And I pray, Father, for the dream of the prayer center, of the city tower, the dreams of Cepheus, and of all those things Silas and the team and Chris and Anderson and all the eldership are doing. I pray in the name of Jesus that your grace and your anointing will continue to be manifest. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for the friendship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.